at some point, we get to remove the training wheels. When I was a child, I remember distinctly learning how to ride a bike. And it was my mother who taught me how to ride the bike. And then I turned around and taught others, and you know, how you hold the back of the seat while the training wheels are taken off. But first of all, the training wheels are on there, and they're on there for a good reason, because we don't. And this is just in reference to learning how to ride a bike. You don't wake up in the morning knowing how to ride a bike. 3, 4, 5 years old, you start off with a tricycle, a big wheel, if you will. Sometimes you have a wagon where it's four wheels, and you have these little cars that are four wheels. And so you're learning how to balance. You're learning how to move and be mobile using your feet on wheels, as opposed to crawling or walking, which is what we learn how to do. And then, of course, we would play with our stroller as we're strolling along, but we've never pushed ourselves in a stroller. But as it were, learning how to ride a bike, there's a succession. But at some point, we get to remove the training wheels. And again, as a child, who gets to be the determiner, or who gets to determine when it's time to remove the training wheels? Well, that's your parent, your mom, your dad, your big brother, your big cousin, whomever it is that's watching you as you are really going after learning how to ride a bike. And then someone older than you, an elder, would say, hey, you're ready. Take those training wheels off. And now let's make sure that you really know how to ride a bike. And that's where the learning continues, insofar as without the training wheels. Well, life is a little bit different, you know, for good reason. We look to elders, we look to mentors for cues for when it's time to take off and be great, when we're mature, when we have developed to a point where we can carry on. And many times we do look for elders and mentors because they've taught us and they've mentored and taken time to pour into us the things that they would say make us equipped. Well, along the way, there are several other teachers, right? You don't just have one teacher, in as much as you have one parent, but there's many folks along the way that are grooming you, that are molding you, that are preparing you. And you can call them teachers, you can call them mentors, you can call them pastors, you can call them, you know, your holy one at your religious organization, whomever that is. They're taking time for good reason. Well, what's the good reason? You are. I am good reason for someone to take care and groom and add a word, add a thought, plant a seed. And along the way, we find folks that, hey, there's a seed to be planted. It's not my job to say whether or not that's, you know, going to be a seed that's going to come back and develop and prosper. Mine is just to plant the seed. And that's the role of the seed planter, to plant the seed. True enough, you want to find it and plant it in good ground. But the job is to ensure that the seed is carried from and transferred from me to you. As a teacher, I was planting seeds. I learned very, very early on that it was, in as much as I may never see folks come back and say, you know, parlez-vous français, because I was teaching French, and say, oh, I learned French just like you, Mr. Gold. Well, I was planting seeds, And in as much as I was teaching French, I was also relaying words of wisdom, you know, talking about eating habits and thinking habits. I remember one conversation I had most recently, and I used the word suggestive. And it was in reference to the music that was being listened to. They said, you know, every now and again, I would ask, give me a song, we can listen to it. And I would say to them, let's make sure that it's not overly suggestive. And I saw the puzzled looks on their faces to say, what do you mean suggestive? And so I said, well, do you all know what the word suggestive means? And so I wrote the word on the board. And we broke it down to say, within certain songs, lyrics are suggestive, meaning they're suggesting you to do something. They're caught. They're making a suggestion. And when you use references in music like suggestive, you're really talking about something that is overly sexual, overly causing you to think in a way that perhaps you haven't been raised to think. And so that would be an example of a conversation that I've had with young people that would say, yeah, I'm here to teach a subject, but I'm also going to plant a seed. And so that's our job, to plant seeds. It's not my job to say, hey, don't listen to that. It's not my job to say, hey, don't eat that. My job is to paint the picture that says, hey, this is what this causes, because I'm not their parent. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. And that's the wisdom that I gained very, very early on in being a teacher. Because I would get frustrated. Like, if they don't do what I tell them to do, then what? Well, then what? They're going to live on, and so will you. But if you don't allow yourself to live on, then you're still, well, you put the training wheels on you that were just on them. We've limited ourselves by saying we are the dictators of when training wheels come off. By saying you must do it the way that I said do it. No, we're human beings. We have an opportunity. We have the right to live life. And so in reference to training wheels, as we go, no one is the dictator to anyone. We are all one. And if I am one with you, then how are you over me? How does that mean that you get to tell me what to do? Or that I get to tell you what to do? No, we get to make suggestions. We get to live upright in front of our brothers and our sisters and allow that light to be the suggestion. But to go further and say, put those training wheels on. You're still in training wheels. Or to dictate when it's time for you to take them off. Take those training wheels off. You're ready. That's not my job. Your job is to work it out amongst yourself, between you and your creator, and not between you and a mentor or you and a teacher. If we're on our way somewhere, we've got to get to the point where learning ceases. What do you mean learning ceases? Well, Jesus walked this earth, and when he walked this earth, he would use words like one. Father, let them be one like you and I are one. And he would always make reference to the things that his father said, meaning that he had already been taught. There was no teaching going on from the father to the son. The father had all of the instructions. It was full, and he came down here to fulfill them, such that you and I can become one with him, who's also one with our Father, God in heaven. So at some point, we become one. We become one in our mind. We become one in our conscience, one in our actions. And if I'm headed towards oneness, my job is not to tell you what to do. My job is to walk after oneness. And walk upright and hold the light such that others can see it and others can find their way in their way. Not to say, hey, come this way. Do it just like this. That's the training wheel syndrome. At some point, we have to allow people to be people. And we have to allow the oneness that is so more, much more powerful than my wanting to teach somebody to take over. Oneness has got to be free. Oneness is not bound. Yet and still, when I see the many, many, many scattered different church organizations, when I hear the many, many, many different religions and various tenets and all of these different ways to identify or to divide or to say, no, we're one over here and y'all are not one over there. Y'all can't be one with me. At some point, we remove the limits of our minds to say, I can be one with my creator. As a matter of fact, I was created to be one. I'm created in his likeness and after his image. My job is to remember that, not to be taught that. Seeds are planted along the way for them to be watered and for them to be cultivated. But what's more is the Most High God, he has the increase. And he's doing it for each and every one of us, that we may become one in his hands, one with him, one with his son. There are not many, 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 many sons. There is one son. How do I know? Because we have to have the same mindset. And if I had the same mindset as you, that makes you and I one. I don't need any training wheels in oneness. I'm going to help my brothers and sisters along the way. And I'm going to keep on following after oneness. I'm going to do as I see in my mind. I'm going to speak as I hear in my mind. Or what's been planted in my mind, the Spirit of the Most High God, the word that has been planted within. Many of us, there are those of us that have to be able to recall the scripture exactly where it is as far as the book and the verse. I've always been, within my spirit, I've never really sought to do that, right? I've never really sought to say, hey, Psalm 17:1 says this. I've always sought to just be able to have it within, to know that the word is there and that it is not divided by all these many, many, many different verses. The word is one. The word is one. So no matter if it's in Psalms or Matthew or Job or Genesis, knowing that the word is true is enough for me. And being a studier of the word, hungering and thirsting after the word, causes me to become one with the word. We are on our way somewhere. I keep saying it over and over and over again. Well, where are we on our way to? We discovered it a while ago. Well, I said, we are on our way to oneness. And oneness is not me teaching you and you teaching him and him teaching her and her teaching her. No, oneness means we get to be the example of the oneness that we're after. And those that will follow, guess what? They are one. And if somebody wants to be scattered, they are scattered. My job is not to say, hey, you're scattered over there. My job is to follow after oneness. And I don't need any training wheels after I've been taught. Beyond learning is oneness. Beyond all separation, all of these many, many, many different divisions is oneness. So who told you that you had on training wheels in the first place? Who told you that you needed a teacher? Somebody that's wanting to control you. Somebody that's wanting to for you to be controlled. Well, being free, I've already said it, is being one. Take the training wheels off. Let us continue to grow up together. Grace.